We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Taxi drivers are set to bring Dublin to a standstill at rush hour today as part of an ongoing protest against a new feature introduced by Uber, which they say will decimate their income. Some 1,500 taxi drivers are set to engage in what they call a slow drive at 3 strategic points, Dublin Airport, Clontarf and the Phoenix Park, from 4:30 today before converging on government buildings. Now, I'm thinking if you're doing it at rush hour, it's always going to be slow, because it's slow anyway every afternoon in Dublin. But joining me to talk about this further is taxi driver and protest coordinator David Mitchell, and with me in studio, the leader of People Before Profit, Richard Boyd Barrett. Good morning and welcome both. Now, David, first of all, will you tell us about your intended action, exactly what's going to happen in the 3 locations?
Perfect. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having us. We're going to have 3 starting points, as you mentioned. We'll be doing a slow drive from Cunningham Road, from Causeway Road and Clontarf, converging together on Merrion Square. We're also doing a slow drive loop around Dublin Airport. So we're not heading into the city from Dublin Airport. We're going to be doing a slow drive for roughly probably 2 hours between 4:30 and 6:30.
Does that mean that no taxis will be available at Dublin Airport, or will some drivers still go into what they call the cache and be standing by for passengers?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm hoping that there will be no drivers available, and I'm hoping we'll all stand together. However, there are many, many more taxis than 1,500 that we expect in working in the Dublin region. So maybe some will, maybe some won't.
Now, the idea is to converge on government buildings, really, to make your point. It will become very, very congested.
Yes, it will, Pat. We did this on Saturday last. We took into account the public's concern. We didn't want to inconvenience the public. So we did it on a Saturday initially. However, we advised the Department of Transport, the NTA, that if we didn't hear back from them by close of business on Monday, that we would escalate our protests. And today's protest is an escalation on Saturday.
Now, it will cease at what time? Because it's Christmas party season, and, you know, that's a nice little earning season for your members. They're going to be back in action at what time tonight?
Yeah, so it's very hard to kind of call it on the city centre, Merrion Square. The airport will be 6:30, 4:30 to 6:30. You know, due to traffic restrictions or, you know, getting around the city, it may run over a little bit from the Merrion Square area, but we're hoping around 6:30.
Around 6:30. So as I say, for people who come in for Christmas parties and so on, they will be able to get home this evening. However, shoppers listening to our conversation may say, I'm not going to bother. And Thursday is a big shopping night in Dublin City Centre. They'll just say, I normally depend on a taxi. I'm not going to get one. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah, probably should. Absolutely. And let me just take this chance to apologise to the public ahead of time. But we have given enough notice. We've given plenty of notice to the Department of Transport and the NTA to come back to us. They haven't. Unfortunately, Pat, we're battling Uber. Uber have a war chest of finance and they can ride this storm. We can't. So our weaponry, I guess, is in our protests.
Now, people are wondering, you know, they've used Uber in different places where you have kind of amateur drivers, you know, a student trying to earn a few bob in the United States or in France or whatever it is. Often they have very nice cars and so on. They're part-time drivers. And that's the way Uber works. That is not the way it works here. Every driver of an Uber cab has to be a qualified, licensed taxi driver. Isn't that so?
That is correct for now.
What, do you think it's heading in the other direction?
Well, ultimately, Uber, and you know Uber are a multinational, like, global company. And, you know, to be honest with you, this is what Uber have done in many, many countries. They'll come in, they'll have a strategy, they have the finance backing, they'll decimate the industry to a level where the NTA may have no choice down the line but to open it up. And then you've got unregulated, unvetted, unqualified drivers driving part-time. And I don't really want to necessarily go down this road, but all you have to do is jump on a Google search and see of incidents that have happened all over the world.
Yeah, Uber drivers, I did that before when we talked about this, about Uber in the United States. And, you know, there were quite a number of incidents. But it turned out it was a tiny fraction of 1% of all the journeys. There were so many millions and millions and millions of journeys that the likelihood of anyone having a problem in the United States from an Uber driver was virtually zero. And that's, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So although the gross number might be appear to be large, in the context of all the journeys taken, it turns out to be small. But anyway, we'll park that one, if you'll pardon the phrase, for the moment. What about, what is Uber proposing that you don't like, and what do you want the NTA to do about it?
So Uber have introduced this fixed fare. It was a very blunt email sent to all the app users about 2.5 weeks ago saying they're introducing fixed fares. The NTA is a regulated body. We have a taxi meter in all of our cars. We charge what's on the taxi meter. Uber have found a loophole in the system where as a driver can agree a price with a customer. Uber are pushing it that working as a dispatch operator, they can determine a price between the driver and the customer. We say no to that. We want the NTA and the Department of Transport to look at the legislation, which is now outdated. The last update was 2016. The Taxi Act 2013 amended 2016. We want the Department of Transport and the NTA to look at that and close that loophole that Uber are utilizing. And on top of that, Pat, when Uber get enough of a foothold in the market, you can mark my words, Uber will increase the prices so that it will affect the customer. And it will decrease the price to the driver, so it affects the customer, and they'll take everything in the middle.
Now, you know, what they're doing effectively is acting as hackneys, because a hackney driver does exactly that. Where do you want to go to? I want to go from here to Enniscorthy, from maybe rural County Wexford. How much? The hackney driver says, that'll be €25. That's the agreed price. And if they come across a herd of cattle delaying them by 20 minutes or whatever, or a crash on the road, it's still €25. That's the way the hackney business used to work. Now, hackneys are no longer, there are no new hackney licenses as far as I know. But isn't that really what Uber are doing?
That is it. And we're not hackneys, we're taxi drivers.
So will the Uber driver still have the meter so that if, for example, they quote me €30 to go from A to B and it says 35 on the meter, that I still pay 30 and they turn to me and say, aren't you getting great value? you've saved yourself €5. But if, on the other hand, the meter is €25, do I still pay the 30?
No, currently no. There are some ways around that and the app platforms are using it. They're offering or they're adding these add-ons, tech fees, etc., priority booking fees. That's something we're looking into. We're also asking the NTA and the Department of Transport to look at, because they're telling you that they can't charge more than what's on the meter. However, when they charge a priority fee or, let's say, a technology fee.
Yeah, I've often wondered, what the hell is that?
They're hiding behind the rules and regulations.
I mean, they have to develop their technology to be in business in the first place, and then they want to pay you to pay for the development of that technology. It does not seem right or fair.
It is not fair. And to add to that, Pat, like, who's to stop them increasing these technology fees? Because they're not really, they're not technology fees. They're add-ons, and they'll increase them. So this €2 technology fee you see now will be €5, €10, €15 when demand is really, really high.
Okay.
And also to add to this, Pat, you know, like, we haven't even discussed this in any capacity, but you're looking at the cost of putting a wheelchair accessible vehicle onto the street right now, and you're talking minimum 60 to 65 grand, and that's with the 17,000 wheelchair grand. No taxi driver is going to be able to afford this if these fixed fares kick in. And what will happen then? You won't have any wheelchair accessible vehicles on the road.
Now, do you have any evidence that Uber are going to charge fixed fees that are totally unrealistic, that they are so low?
Yes.
You have evidence of that?
Yes. So I was sent some images of the fares that were going out. Obviously, there are still some people using it. There was a job coming in from Cabinteely to Dublin Airport. Uber offered the driver €38.
Well, I know from personal experience, it'll cost far more than that to get from
Cabinteely. The customers charge €68. So Uber took everything in the middle. So that's a 42% commission.
Now, the question about Uber, they couldn't exist unless your colleagues in the taxi driving business actually joined Uber. I mean, some of them have all the apps they can muster. They find it's profitable for them to be on Freenow and on Uber, as well as being able to, you know, crawl along the curbs and pick up people randomly after a night out. So Uber couldn't thrive unless your colleagues decided to join them.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. And this is, again, this is standard practice for Uber. They're offering customers 50% discounts just to get them on board. They're offering drivers fares, and they're just basically going to try to float the market as much as they can. And, you know, look, they're clever. They're clever men. Yeah. They're,
but
they're
why would that
men.
Uber driver accept 38 euro out of a 68 euro fare? I mean, you'd be running away from Uber in droves if that was the kind of profit that Uber were screwing out of the drivers.
You would think, Pat, you would think, and that's the message we're trying to drill home. Look, we have a huge percentage of the taxi drivers who were using Uber not using it now. However, there are people that are not in these groups that we've organized. They just, like, we call them lone wolves, where they just go out in their car, work, don't associate, don't mix with the taxi industry. We're trying to get them on board. It's not easy. As I said to you earlier in the conversation, you know, our weapons are our protests. Uber have a war chest of finance. They can ride this out. And that's why we're pushing the NTA and the Department of Transport to address this. Put it at the top of your agenda. Come back to us. Let us know what's happening, please.
Now, I'll just read you some comments. Dermot, currently in Nice in France. I split my time between Nice and the south of France, in the south of France and Ireland. I'd be lost without Uber. I've been going back and forth for a long time. Taxi costs 45 euro plus an extra 5 per large suitcase from Nice Airport to the city centre, only a couple of kilometres. Uber appeared, and now you can get an Uber for less than 20 euro. That's from Dermot, as I say. So that's the appeal for the consumer. You obviously are concerned about the livelihood of your members, and you think that Uber will exploit their dominance if they become dominant. But in Nice, it looks like they're not screwing the driver or the consumer.
And that's fine. I'm not sure how to not screw in the driver, but, you know, I'll give you an analogy. Yeah, you work in media, right? So I'm assuming that advertising pays you guys to use your space, right? You advertise. So your boss comes in and he has a chat with you and your colleagues and says, hey, we're going to cut your wages by 30%, but we've got this new advertising campaign going on where we can offer them cheaper advertising. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Nobody would be happy, you know, nobody would be happy.
All right. Now, listening to that conversation is Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit. Richard, welcome and good to see you looking so well after your recent brush with mortality. Anyway,
I came off better than mortality.
And now tell us how you react to this Uber story.
Well, I've spoken up for the drivers last week and this week in the Dáil, and I support the drivers because their livelihood and their industry is at stake, and they've fought long and hard to have a properly regulated industry, and Uber are trying to undermine their livelihoods and the industry. And I think in the end, you see, the customers might think there's a short-term benefit of this stuff for them, but in long term, there won't be. Because when Uber get to dominate the market, as they have done in many other countries, what happens is those add-on charges begin to pile up, they begin to expand, and the commissions that are charged to the drivers go up. I mean, I was looking at coverage of a similar campaign by taxi drivers against the app companies in the United States, where they said the commissions being charged went from 10% up to 65%. 65%, right? So Uber, which makes billions, an American-based company, make absolutely billions, and the charges start to increase for the passenger, for the customer, and the taxi driver gets ruined, and the livelihood.
So how do you combat that?
You have what we have, and what the taxi drivers have campaigned for, is a properly regulated industry. They negotiate every couple of years. That's under the taxi legislation. Every couple of years, what the fare meter should be. And that's to take into account the costs and the need for them to have a proper livelihood, but also, you know, to have enough taxis to serve the public and so on, and to have reasonable prices. So that's a fair system. literally, excuse the pun. And I mean, I think, you know, some of the concerns that the public might have out there could be solved if, and this is something that Dave and other taxi representative groups have argued for, is to have the NTA actually have a publicly run, not-for-profit app, which does exist in jurisdictions in other parts of the world, right? Where in cities, in particular cities, where it's publicly run. So it's part of the public transport system. And the drivers all sign up. And that means there will be money coming back from revenue, but the commission charges will be much, much less. Good for the driver, good for the customer. Mm.
People might point out, though, that the NTA's apps at the moment are not that great for, you know, journeys and so on.
Well, you're talking about buses, and that's a slightly different thing. And I've been campaigning for the bus drivers on that, but that's more to do with this press it box system and, to be honest, unrealistic route times that are being imposed on buses and the lack of bus drivers.
No, but people will point out the way the apps have transformed the taxi industry, where you can go on your phone, you can order a taxi, it's identified, the driver's identified, say the Free Now app or whatever, and that's really progressive because you can track people's journeys. You know the identity of the driver. If there's any carry on.
You can ask Dave, but because I'm talking to Dave, I was supporting their protests on Saturday and I've talked to many of the other taxi representative groups. They have no problem with apps. It's not the problem with the principle of an app. The problem is undermining the regulated industry and the regulated fare structure, which is properly negotiated. And is set at a level that can ensure that there is an actual livelihood for taxi drivers.
Have you been talking to the NTA or have they been talking?
I've raised it with the minister and I've asked the minister to bring it up with the NTA. Now, the minister, should move faster on this. I mean, he expressed some sort of sympathy with the taxi drivers when I raised it this week and I raised it last week as well. So it's not as if the government haven't put on notice about this. But you see, the truth is there is a lobby. And I've seen them organising briefings in the Dáil. There's a lobby of certain of these companies to try and prise open the regulated market in this country and make profit. And when you look at the profits of these companies, it's absolutely staggering. Billions. I mean, Uber make billions globally. And where do you think they get that money from? They get it from the passengers and from the taxi drivers.
Now, some of the comments coming in, varying in opinion. Everyone needs to object to Uber, says Shane and Talla. They cannot be allowed to break the rules and regulations. Another one. Why punish your customers? We are your customers. Our journeys home this evening will be a nightmare. We are the people who support you all year round. This is a nightmare. Who do these taxi drivers think they are? In London yesterday, the police arrested farmers who brought in tractors in a protest. Honestly, this kind of thing should be outlawed. And what right have those taxi drivers to strangle the public and city centre business? It's about time we get fixed fares. That's kind of a difficult one, because if, for example, there's traffic congestion and the journey takes forever and you're in a taxi, would normally take 10 minutes and it takes an hour. That's an hour of the driver's time. And that driver really has to be paid for his or her time. Maybe if the Taxi Driver Federation agreed to lower fares, the public would get behind them. Recent fare of €19 from Malahide to Swords at 10:30 p.m, 5 kilometres, just shows how much of a rip-off it is. Another recent one, €54 from Finglas to Swords, approximately 12 kilometres. I'm all for keeping jobs, and we all need to make a living, but that's a rip-off, despite the cost of fuel, insurance, etc. So, a lot of mixed views on this, Richard. Talking to Dave as well, the question of this protest happens. Darragh O'Brien doesn't give you anything, doesn't hammer the NTA. What then? I mean, how many more protests will you have?
Well, look, that's a decision for the taxi drivers to make. And I think Dave Mitchell made it clear, and I know from talking to taxi drivers, this is not a step they wanted to take. And the government have been put on notice. I mean, I raised it. It's about 10 days ago, we had a debate in the Dáil where I raised it with the junior minister of transport, Sean Canny, and then I raised it with Darragh O'Brien, the senior minister of transport, earlier this week. So they've well been put on notice about this. And Darragh O'Brien said to me that he was going to act and that they were going to talk to the NTA. Now, what they need to, and there's been letters written, I know for a fact that the taxi drivers have written letters, I've raised it. So they need to get back to the taxi drivers and make it clear that they are going to respond to their concerns.
So we'll go back to David. David, what happens if you don't get action in the next few days from the NTA or the minister?
Unfortunately, and just back to your texts there, and I do feel it. I do feel for them. We don't want to do this. I've stressed that. I will apologise ahead of time. However, what's the alternative? And I'd ask the texters how would they feel it was their mother, brother, son, uncle, aunt getting their potential income cut by 30% and constantly rising. They would not like it. I've yet to find one person who said, oh, I would accept that. Nobody would accept this.
All right. But the question again is, what will happen if you don't get your way, you don't get any movement from the NTA or a promise of movement? Will there be more protests before Christmas?
There will. We'll escalate again, Pat. I'm sorry I did say that. I may have spoken too fast. I tend to do that when I'm on live radio. We'll escalate again, Pat, without a doubt.
Okay. David Mitchell, taxi driver and protest coordinator, and Richard Boyd-Barrett, TD for People Before Profit. Thank you both very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.